Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have a level 1 through 3 risk of severe storms tomorrow. It's a WRAL weather alert day. We have a wind advisory in effect as well. I'll walk you through what we're expecting and when where you are coming up.
And we have team coverage preparing for that severe weather. How Duke Energy is getting ready for possible outages.
And the FAA releases critical evidence found in the Alaska Airlines decompression event. Now all Boeing 737 MAX 9s are grounded until further notice.
Tomorrow is that WRAL weather alert day, and it looks like damaging wind will be the biggest threat. Just moments ago, we learned Cumberland County Schools will dismiss 2 hours early in advance of that storm. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We have team coverage of the storm preparations. We begin with Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at new advisories posted today.
Yes, new this morning. We've gone under a level 2 risk in the Triangle and a level 3 risk in our southern counties. That was new this morning. Our level 1 risk remains in our northern counties. The potential for tornadoes will increase as you head farther to the south, especially in this orange shaded level 3 area. That's where we'll have a better chance of seeing some scattered tornadoes. There could be a few in the yellow shaded area, but they're less likely there in our northeastern counties. We also have a wind advisory that was posted this morning. It goes into effect tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see gusts even before the thunderstorms arrive, up to 25 to 45 miles per hour. Steady winds up to 25 out of the south, but gusts up to 45, especially as we get into the afternoon. So we are expecting to see scattered power outages. Those will be the worst once the line of thunderstorms comes through, which will happen during the evening. Let's walk through it. First thing in the morning, we start to see some rain. By the time we get to 5 or 6 a.m., we're seeing some scattered showers. It will be breezy, but I wouldn't expect there would be much damage until we get closer to lunchtime. We'll push it out to about noon. Once we get into, say, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we see another wave that comes through. There could be some scattered storms here. We could start to see some winds gusting up to 40 miles per hour by that point. But the most dangerous part of the storm doesn't come through until the evening. It's this line here at 5 o'clock. That is well west of our viewing area. By 7 o'clock, it's beginning to move in. Southern Pines, Durham, Roxborough. By, 7:30, 8 o'clock, it's right through the middle of the viewing area. South Hill, Raleigh, Fayetteville. And then by 9 to 10 o'clock, it's beginning to push out along the I-95 corridor and eastward. So the most dangerous part of this will be a timeline of, say, 6 p.m. to around 10 p.m., and then after that, we're finished. But we could end up seeing some wind damage. We'll have some heavy rain, too. We'll have widespread 2-inch rainfall totals. In some places, we could see 3 inches. That's likely to break daily rainfall records. However, it may not cause a lot of flooding. We take a look outside right now, and everything is quiet as we get ready for this system to come through. We'll talk more about some of the rainfall totals specifically coming up.
And with that severe weather on the way, now is the time to plan and prepare. School districts, utilities, homeowners doing what they can to brace for the storm's impact. WRAL's Eric Miller has been checking with officials across the region. Eric, what are you hearing?
Well, Jeff, there's especially concerned about downed trees coming out of this storm. And you take a look at this home behind me in Garner that was damaged by that severe weather we had just last month. You can see why the consequences of when those trees start to fall on full display here. Now, we know Duke Energy, as well as several local school districts, are having meetings both this morning and this afternoon, keeping a very close eye on what's headed our way. Duke Energy, in particular, says they're preparing for potential impacts across the entire state. That means they're keeping utility crews spread out to better respond to whichever area is hardest hit. They're also ready to bring in crews from the Midwest and as far away as Florida if necessary. And with the storms we just had over this last weekend, all that rain, Duke spokesperson Jeff Brooks says this could be a recipe for trouble.
Well, you know, the combination that's most problematic is when you have a large amount of rain followed by high winds. And so we just had a large amount of rain. And then we're going to have more rain with the next system that comes through. And that can create a situation where you begin to see trees that get uprooted, can come down on power lines.
Now, those Duke crews are also doing some work today as well as tomorrow, making sure they're stacked up, prepared with all of the supplies they'll need to respond quickly when those storms actually do start to hit. Duke is also trumpeting the success they've had with that self-healing technology. You've heard us talk a lot about that in the past year. It essentially lets them route energy around those damaged sections of lines. We'll be watching closely as they continue their preparations. Bring you updates here, Jeff.
And they might get another chance to use that, no question. Eric Miller live in Garner for us this noon. Eric, thanks. And you can plan ahead for severe weather with the WRL Weather app. It allows you to watch radar in real time to see when storms are in your area. Be sure you have the WRL Weather app installed on your phone. Turn on the alerts to get notified about severe weather in your location. It is free wherever you download your apps.
Today, you have your chance to share your thoughts about plans for a new Buc-ee's store near the Triangle. This would be the first Buc-ee's in North Carolina. WRL's Kelsey Coffey has more on how the plans for this mega gas station in Mebane are dividing people who live near the proposed development. This area may not look like much now, just an empty field, but this is 32 acres of land that could become the home of North Carolina's first Buc-ee's, and not everyone is happy about it. This is a look at protesters last week. A group created a petition with more than 1,000 signatures, all against the new development. Some protesters are worried about pollution and other environmental concerns, but a lot of folks are in favor of a new Buc-ee's. In just 1 week, more than 800 people signed a petition to support the project. Shalina Seely rounded up all those signatures. She says she believes the company can handle issues like minimizing traffic. You can also weigh in at tonight's Mebane City Council meeting. The City Council is asking for public comment. This comes after the planning board denied the proposal, and that meeting is scheduled for tonight at 6 o'clock. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Mebane.
And happening right now in the WRL Live Center, it was an ugly season for the Carolina Panthers, finishing 2-15 on the season. And this afternoon, we are learning that they have fired their general manager, Scott Fitterer. Panthers owner David Tepper said, as we move forward with a new direction for our franchise, I have made the decision that Scott will no longer serve as our GM. Fitterer was hired back in 2021. The Panthers also fired head coach Frank Reich during the season. You may remember that. So they are starting from scratch. They are now looking for a new head coach and a new GM.
Michelle, thanks. We're working to confirm reports that one or two employees at Wolfspeed were hurt in a flash fire. It happened just before 7 this morning while workers were performing maintenance on a piece of equipment. Two people have died at this facility in the past year and a half. Last July, a person working with a Wolfspeed contractor died at the Durham location. That contractor, Southern Industrial Contractors, was fined. And in October of last year, of 2022, a technician was electrocuted when he grabbed an exposed coil in the facility. The company was cited for two serious violations, and the Department of Labor fined Wolfspeed more than $27,000.
This morning, civil rights leader Reverend William Barber held a news conference to discuss his next steps in the fight for the rights of people with disabilities. Recently, he was escorted out of an AMC movie theater while trying to use a special seat he brought in with him. WRL's Ken Smith listened to the announcement and shares Reverend Barber's plan of action. Ken?
You know, Jeff, these next steps that he announced are directly linked to his recent meeting with the CEO of AMC Theaters. Now, during the news conference, Reverend Barber was surrounded by clergy and other disabled people. He was also joined via Zoom by the president of the American Association of People with Disabilities and other state advocates for people with disabilities. Reverend Barber recalled the incident captured on cell phone video when he tried to use a special chair in the theater and employees asked him to leave. Barber has a rare form of arthritis and uses that special chair everywhere he goes. Well, today, Reverend Barber says this case has now taken a legal turn, and he announced the hiring of noted civil rights attorney Harry Daniels.
I'd hoped that we could be able, and I still hope. You know, I was encouraged by an apology. I was encouraged by sitting down, and we're still open to sitting down. But once in the meeting you mentioned you talked to your counsel, then it's incumbent on me, not for me, but for all these other folk, because this is a matter of law. It's not a matter of like. It's not a matter of personality. It's a matter of law.
Well, Bishop Barber commented and commended the Greenville Police Department for its officers' handling of the situation. No word yet on if Reverend Barber plans to file a lawsuit. For now, Attorney Daniels, whom you saw standing behind him, he says all communication about this incident involving AMC Theaters will now go through his office. We'll, of course, continue to follow this story and keep you updated on any new developments starting at 4.
Not over yet. All right. Ken, thanks for that.
And breaking here in the WREL Live Center, House Republicans this afternoon are calling for Hunter Biden to be held in contempt of Congress. The House Oversight Committee, they said Hunter defied a subpoena to appear for a closed-door interview as part of their impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Resolutions will be marked up on Wednesday. If they pass, the House will then vote on whether to refer the recommendation to the Justice Department, which would ultimately make the final decision on if he should be criminally charged.
Police are now investigating a shooting in Northwest Raleigh as a homicide. It happened Sunday night at the apartment complex known as The View at Lake Lynn. It's off Ray Road. The man who was shot has died. Two people are reported to have left the scene in a vehicle. No suspects are in custody. The victim's name has not been released. Some St. Augustine's University students are left stranded after the university announced the first 2 weeks of classes this semester will be virtual. An email was sent to students just days before in-person classes were supposed to start. In that email, the interim president said the university would be going virtual to make sure dorms and classrooms are in good condition. The interim president wrote that the university will find students a place to stay if they check in this week. Classes will return in person on January 22nd, and students can return to campus starting on the 19th.
First full week of trading on the New York Stock Exchange this week. Let's take a look at them this noon and see where the Dow Jones Industrial stands. It came out of the gate in negative territory. It remains there right now, down 56 points, as you see there. The S&P 500 is up marginally, 27 points right now. NASDAQ is up big, up almost 200 points right now. Next at noon, it is countdown to caucus time in Iowa. What Republican candidates are saying after visiting the early voting state over the weekend.
Also, the FAA grounds certain 737s after a door blew off mid-flight. Where that door was found and what's next as hundreds of flights are canceled.
Well, as Durham's new mayor lays out his master plan for the city moving forward at 12:30, what's on Leonardo Williams' to-do list?
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Turning now to politics, with the Iowa caucuses just 1 week away, with frontrunner Donald Trump still leading by a significant margin. Republican candidates were barnstorming the early voting state over the weekend before the forecasted storm hits. NBC's Garrett Hake spent the weekend chasing candidates and joins us with more from Des Moines.
This morning, caucus crunch time in Iowa, with the 2024 campaign kicking off 1 week from today.
Hello, Iowa. Happy New Year.
Polling shows it's Donald Trump's race to lose. Mr. Trump leading the Hawkeye state by a wide margin, urging his supporters not to be complacent.
Pretend you're 1 point down, okay? You're 1 point down. You have to get out and you have to vote, vote, vote. You got to do it by big, big margins.
The former president downplaying the violence of the January 6th attack on the Capitol on its third anniversary Saturday, and calling those convicted of crimes for their actions that day hostages.
They ought to release the J6 hostages. They've suffered enough. They ought to release them.
With more than $100 million spent on TV ads alone in Iowa so far,
let's save our country.
The caucuses now shaping up to be a battle for second place between former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, trading barbs on the trail this weekend.
Donald Trump is running for his issues. Nikki Haley's running for her donors' issues. I'm running for your issues and your family's issues and to turn this country around.
Ron DeSantis, what you need to be asking him is why did he author legislation and push to ban the renewable fuel standard that matters so much here in Iowa?
The candidates battling over a dwindling pool of undecided voters.
I'm excited about DeSantis and Haley.
Like homemaker Melissa Nobles, who we met at a DeSantis event.
How do you think you'll make that final decision?
I think it's going to come down to who's talking about the things that affect me every day.
President Biden, meantime, is expected to deliver remarks at any moment at a political event in Charleston, South Carolina. Biden will speak at the Mother Emanuel AME Church, where nine black churchgoers were killed by a white supremacist in 2015. Part of his speech will remind Americans that the same hate that plagued the Mother Emanuel Church years ago hasn't gone away. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin faces intense scrutiny for his handling of his absence last week. It turns out he was in the hospital getting care for an elective surgery, but several key people were not informed in time, including President Biden. The Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks was not told that Austin was undergoing treatment at Walter Reed Military Medical Center when she assumed his duties. She was kept in the dark about Austin's whereabouts until last Thursday, the same day the president was notified. Austin has resumed his duties and said he has no plans to resign.
The FAA has grounded 737 MAX 9s in the U.S., forcing Alaska and United Airlines to cancel hundreds of flights. This comes after investigators located the blown-out piece of a jet in an Oregon backyard. The decompression explosion at 16,000 feet twisted nearby seats and sucked the headrests and cushions out of the 737 MAX 9. One teenager had his shirt pulled off him. A sock was found stuck in the plane's frame. One flight attendant suffered a knee injury. Passengers described the terror.
Big boom or a mini explosion in the rear of the plane.
My focus in that moment was just breathe into the oxygen mask and trust that the flight crew will do everything they can to keep us safe.
Investigators will look at whether that plug was properly bolted in place during manufacturing.
This morning, a private company launched its inaugural flight to the moon, signaling what could be a giant leap for the space industry.
And liftoff of the first United Launch Alliance Vulcan rocket, launching a new era in spaceflight to the moon and beyond.
That Vulcan rocket lifted off from Cape Canaveral just after 2 this morning. It is carrying the Peregrine moon lander, human remains, as well as payloads from 7 different countries, including a Bitcoin encoded coin from Seychelles. Now, Peregrine is due to land on the moon February 23rd. Next up, NASA's second mission, Intuitive Machines, the Nova C lander. It'll launch on a SpaceX rocket as early as February, delivering 5 more payloads to the moon's south pole. The Nova C will include an advanced camera that will detach during the lander's final descent to take photographs as it sets down on the lunar surface. The spacecraft will play the role of a scout for the Artemis III crewed landing, which would place humans on the moon's south pole by 2025.
So cool. It's taking kind of a roundabout tour to the moon. We're hearing from more school districts on WRL's Weather Alert Day tomorrow about dismissing early. So Wayne County Schools will be dismissing 3 hours early tomorrow, as well as Robeson County Schools releasing 2 hours early. And at the top of the newscast, we told you about Cumberland County Schools releasing 2 hours early. This is all because of tomorrow's severe weather.
And everybody trying to figure out the timing of it as well. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at what we can expect.
Yeah, it is a WRL Weather Alert Day. Wind looks like it's going to be the biggest issue with this system, and it will start off on the easy side, and then as the day goes, we'll have that wind building. So as we get into the afternoon, those winds will be gusting potentially up to 45 miles per hour. Severe level winds are closer to 60 miles per hour, but 45 mile per hour winds can definitely knock down some large limbs. We could begin to see some isolated power outages through the afternoon. All total, we'll likely see an average of about 2 inches of rainfall, which could cause some minor flooding, but probably won't see anything extreme with that. But our level 2 and 3 risk for severe storms is definitely concerning. We don't have a level 3 risk here very often. This is a look at where that storm is right now, and you can see a lot of rain with this. It's pulling it up out of the Gulf of Mexico. Plenty of thunder and lightning. There's some wintry weather with this too, but that's all going to stay well to our north. Of course, the big deal with us is going to be that severe weather. Again, here's a look at where that level 3 risk of severe storms is. This is where we're more likely to have tornadoes. The timeline on that is going to start in the west at about 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening and then spread eastward and be out of the viewing area around 10 p.m. or so. And that'll be the most dangerous time of the storm. Of course, we could see some damaging winds even outside that main line that comes through. That's why we have a wind advisory that goes into effect starting at 10 a.m. But the stronger winds will be developing as we head into the afternoon. We'll see those winds building as we get through the day. Winds will be south at 10 to 15 and then gusting up to 45. And of course, if it's your your trash day, your trash can might get tossed around a little bit. Your eye's probably drawn to those pink shaded areas. You know, that's a little wintry mix, but it's not coming anywhere close to us. We'll begin to see the rain in the morning, and then we'll see that continuing on and off during the day. We get a little bit of a break. We've had several runs of the computer models where it seems like we have a break closer to lunchtime. And then we'll start to see those storms beginning to develop potentially by about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The winds will begin to pick up closer to 45 mile per hour gusts. But this is where the strong line is that will have the most dangerous situation. At 5 o'clock, that's going to be Greensboro down towards Charlotte. By 7 o'clock, it's starting to move into our viewing area, Roxboro, Durham down towards Southern Pines. By the time we get to 8 to 8:30, it's moving through the triangle and toward the I-95 corridor. And it starts to pull out of the viewing area as we get to, say, 10, 10:30. And then that should be the end of it. It may still be a little bit breezy behind it, but that'll be definitely the time when we have the greatest risk. We'll see widespread 2-inch rainfall totals. That could end up breaking some of the daily records. And we'll likely have some minor flooding of rivers maybe by the end of this week. But we're not looking at anything major in terms of flooding. Places that tend to flood fairly easily, large puddles, that sort of thing, are definitely likely with 2 inches of rain. But it will be spread out over a very long time period. 48 is our current temperature. We'll climb up to around 51 for this afternoon. It's 48 in Fayetteville, 47 Goldsboro, 48 in South Hill. Our temperature this afternoon, of course, in the upper 40s to low 50s, so we'll add a couple degrees onto that. Now, of course, tomorrow is our WRL weather alert day. Looking at a high of 66, it's going to feel like one of those days that we could have severe storms. We're back to more normal temperatures for Wednesday and Thursday. We do have another chance of rain Friday night into early Saturday.
Elizabeth, thanks. Hospitals in our area are running out of space in pediatric ICUs. Ahead on our news at 5, how many beds are taken and what hospitals are doing to make sure its youngest patients have a place for treatment.
Plus, the site where two people died in a gas explosion in Durham 2 years ago is now up for sale. At 5:30, the plans a developer has for that area. Still ahead this noon, a high school is creating a space to help students reset.
We needed a space that would invite them to come into and kind of let their guard down.
Our teachers hope that space will cater to students' emotional and social needs.
And some college graduates are struggling to find jobs. The top reasons employers say they're choosing more seasoned workers over Gen Zers.
Happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, a man was found hurt at a construction site in Durham. A lot of questions surrounding this. This is what happened around 9 o'clock this morning. The Durham Fire Department were called to Liberty Street for a high-angle rescue. Workers at that site said the person was not affiliated with them, was laying on a platform about 80 feet above the ground and not responding. Firefighters brought him down in a basket. They say he was breathing but unresponsive. It's unknown how his injuries occurred, but it appeared to be related to a fall. He was taken to an area hospital. No word on his condition this afternoon.
Some new college grads are struggling with job interviews because they're not prepared. A research group surveyed hundreds of employers last month, and it found that almost 40% are more willing to hire older candidates rather than Gen Zers. Hiring managers cite reasons like some younger candidates don't make good eye contact with potential employers, often dress inappropriately, and ask for unreasonable salaries. About 20% of those hiring say they've seen at least one recent grad bring a parent with them to an interview.
Taxes on sugary drinks imposed by some cities has resulted in a drop in soda sales. Researchers looked at cities like Philadelphia, Seattle, and San Francisco, where the tax could add more than $1.30 to the total price of a 2-liter soda bottle. The study estimates that a 33% rise in soda prices will lead to a 33% decrease in volume sales. Sugar, spice, and a rising price. Prices for sugar and sweets could go up by 5.6% this year. That's because of an excessive drought in Thailand and India led to bad crops. About 60% of the top producing sugar countries experienced bad weather last year. According to the Department of Agriculture, the price of sweets has increased nearly 9%.
We're under a level 1 through 3 risk for severe storms tomorrow, and Elizabeth Gardner will tell us what we can expect from a weather alert day.
And just a few minutes ago, Durham Mayor Leonardo Williams laid out his plan to move the city forward. We're live with a look at the major issues at the top of his list. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Power outages, damaging winds, and up to 3 inches of rain are possible tomorrow. That's why we have a WRAL weather alert day.
In the past 30 minutes, several school districts have announced early dismissal times. We have a rundown of that latest list with Cumberland County dismissing 2 hours early, Wayne County dismissing 3 hours early, Robinson County dismissing at 1 p.m.
Now, all of those counties are in the area with the highest risk for severe weather, a level three anyway. We have a running list of school schedule changes on our website and in the WRAL News app. Elizabeth Gardner is live in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with who could be in for the most damage.
That's right. So there's our level one through three risk. We also have a wind advisory, which covers the time period before we'll likely see the thunderstorms rolling through. The strongest thunderstorms likely to be moving into the area around 6 to 7 and then moving out between, say, 9 and 10 p.m. This is where we can see damaging winds, some heavy rain. We'll see an average of about 2 inches, which shouldn't cause extreme flooding, but we may have certainly have some minor flooding, some road flooding, that sort of thing. And then, of course, a few tornadoes. And the tornadoes will be most likely in our southern counties. And that does include Fayetteville and Clinton. It includes almost all of Johnston County and Harnett County, and certainly parts of the Sand Hills as well down here in Moore County. So our wind advisory covers pretty much the entire viewing area. The winds will gradually get stronger as we get through the day, gusting, say, mid to late afternoon up to around 45 miles per hour. So if you have any, say, holiday decorations that are still out, or if it's your trash day, just keep in mind things may start to blow around as we get into the afternoon. Here's a look at the setup. Big, powerful low pressure system grabbing a lot of moisture up from the Gulf of Mexico and pushing a lot of energy into our portion of North Carolina. We take a look at some of those severe threats. Our damaging wind threat is high. Tornado threat, definitely medium, as we're in that level three risk. We certainly have a good chance of at least seeing some tornadoes. Hail risk is low, and our flooding risk with the situation with 2 inches of rain is just medium. Here's another look again at Futurecast. We'll kick this off at around 4:30, 5 o'clock. You can see some rain. It will affect the morning commute. It'll be messy during the commute. It'll be a little bit on the breezy side. And then once we get to 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we may have a few cells that pop up, but the strong line of thunderstorms doesn't start to move in until 6 to 7 p.m. There's 7 p.m. in our western counties, by 8:30 in our central counties, and then by 9:30, 10 o'clock in our eastern counties, and then it moves on out. Coming up, we're going to talk in more detail about some of those rainfall totals and the flooding potential.
And you can always track real-time traffic during your drive by listening to WRAL News on your radio tomorrow evening's commute. That'll be important. You can listen anytime, 99.3 in Raleigh, 96.5 in Durham, 101.5 HD3 all across the Triangle, starting bright and early with us tomorrow morning.
A Holly Springs man charged with a series of pellet gun shootings from 2020 was back in a Wake County courtroom today. 47-year-old Henderson Atwater was tried in this case in August, and the case was declared a mistrial. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan was in court today as he was arraigned again and joins us now with what happened. Chelsea.
So Henderson Atwater spent more than 2 years in the Wake County Jail. He actually bonded out just after Thanksgiving, but today he was back in a Wake County courtroom being arraigned on the same charges that ended in a mistrial and more. Now, Atwater's case, you'll recall, dates back to March of 2020 when the first pellet gun shootings were reported in his hometown of Holly Springs. Now, back in August, Atwater faced trial for 17 of more than 40 charges against him. That trial, though, ended in a mistrial due to insufficient evidence, but Atwater stayed in jail until November of last year on similar charges that were not part of that trial. The district attorney is now working to retry the same case on at least 40 charges, and today, Atwater back in court pleading not guilty to all the charges, rather, he's facing yet again.
It's kind of stressful, but anything to prove my innocence, and I'll do it.
Now, District Attorney Lauren Freeman said she planned to try this case next month in February, but Atwater's attorney say they need a little bit more time, so this case is now scheduled for trial in July.
Chelsea Donovan, thank you. Police believe speed was a factor in an early morning crash in North Raleigh. This happened on Glenwood Avenue at Lynn Road just after 2 this morning. Police say the driver went off the road and hit a tree. The man was identified as 35-year-old Lazaro Guido.
Durham's new mayor hosted his first news conference today. Leonardo Williams was just elected to that seat, and he's been on city council since 2021. WRL's Monica Casey was in the room. Monica, what are his top priorities?
Well, Jeff, Mayor Williams finished speaking just a few moments ago to a group gathered here in city council chambers at this podium here behind me. He was surrounded by his policy advisors, Mayor Pro Tem Mark Anthony Middleton, and city council member Javiera Caballero. He says his top three priorities going into his new term as mayor are community development, economic development, and workforce development. Williams says he will establish industry-specific advisory councils on economic development, housing, the environment, and innovation in the coming weeks. He told the group here he believes Durham needs to bridge the gap between the opportunities here and the access that residents have to them.
We are going to be unapologetically aggressive in how we address these things. We know what the needs are in the city, and we are going to do what is needed to get there. We know that our city workers deserve and are in line for higher pay. We have a pay study that is coming forth very soon.
I also asked Williams about his plan for crime. He says he's focused on root causes such as housing security and access to jobs. Williams says he wants to make sure the many mentoring groups here in the city of Durham are working together on the issue. He says he is also focused on making Durham the most progressive town in North Carolina in public safety. Jeff?
An important list, all topics right there. Monica Casey live in Durham for us this noon. Monica, thank you.
More families are opting out of public schools. The significant jump in enrollment at charter schools here in our state.
And also a surprising element that could help improve your workouts. Weed. What new research has to say about how marijuana may be a good motivator for exercise. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click reported in the WRL News app.
Breaking right now in the WREL Live Center, breaking news out of Spring Lake. Overhills High School says a bomb threat was made against the school. They have evacuated students and staff and sent them over to the middle school. They posted this on their website telling parents that they are in transition to the middle school. They are not allowed to release the students until all students are at place, but parents can go and pick them up. They say they immediately contacted law enforcement and evacuated everybody. They are working with law enforcement to figure out who made this bomb threat.
A school in Dallas, Texas is creating a safe space for students, calling it a reset room. The goal is to provide students with more social and emotional support. An intervention facilitator at the high school reached out on social media for funding help for the reset room and received a large response from the community. A friend put her in touch with her church, which helped financially with the project.
We can all recognize that we need a place, a safe place to disconnect from our daily challenges and really de-escalate or take the emotions out of things or know how to deal with emotions.
That space has a living room, a desk area, and a dining room with kitchenette as well as a patio. The district will be getting training on restorative circles, groups that offer support and discuss accountability.
More parents are enrolling their children in charter schools since the pandemic. New data shows a 9% increase nationwide from 2019 to 2023. 1.5 million students left public schools during the pandemic. In North Carolina, charter schools reported a 19% growth in enrollment from the 2019-20 school year to the 2022-23 school year.
Don't call it a cheat day. What a registered dietitian says you should call it instead. Pretty normal for people in big numbers to head to the gym in the weeks following the new year. But if you're already losing steam and skipping your workouts, new research is shedding light on how legalized marijuana could help. Ted Linder spoke to a psychologist about positive effects cannabis can have on your fitness journey.
While getting into shape is many people's top resolution for the new year, finding the energy to hit the gym can be a challenge. But new research from the University of Colorado Boulder finds cannabis use before physical activity could have some positive effects on your fitness journey.
Cannabis users exercise more than non-users. They're more likely to meet physical activity recommendations. They're less likely to have type 2 diabetes. They have lower body mass index. And so it actually looks like cannabis and exercise might go together.
With recreational marijuana legal in 24 states and in Washington, D.C., scientists were curious about how the drug, associated with lower levels of motivation, was affecting people's incentive to exercise.
Actually, what we're finding is, like I mentioned, people who are fairly regular cannabis users both exercise more generally, but also exercise while they're under the influence of cannabis.
In the study, researchers had 42 volunteers with prior experience running while under the influence jog for 30 minutes on a treadmill while answering questions. Participants first ran sober and then repeated the test after using marijuana.
People said that it helped them to enjoy their physical activity more. Counterintuitively, it helped them feel more motivated to exercise. It decreased pain during exercise.
While cannabis didn't enhance a person's athletic performance, researchers say nearly 60% of participants said it increased their focus, and roughly 45% said it made their workouts go by faster.
It's Ted Lindner reporting, and because cannabis can lead to dizziness and affect your balance, researchers urge caution if you're working out under the influence. The findings also suggest using marijuana before exercise may be more useful for those who need help staying motivated to work out and not athletes aiming for personal records in races and other events.
For some people, having a cheat day while dieting can mess with their mood. But a registered dietitian says it's time to ditch that all or nothing mindset. Instead of having a cheat day once in a while, consider following the 80-20 rule. That's when you eat nutrient-dense foods 80% of the time and then whatever else you enjoy the other 20%. She says it can also be helpful to stop looking at food as good or bad and instead think about its nutritional benefits. Another suggestion is to avoid extreme diets that limit what you can eat.
Sometimes we need to give ourselves a break. We need to recognize that we're human and recognize that we're not going to be perfect in our dietary patterns each and every day. There's going to be setbacks, and that's really normal.
If you find yourself having a hard time cutting certain foods from your diet, you should speak with a medical professional. And as always, just eat in moderation.
That is true. Hard to do in some cases, but that is a key factor right there. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Gardner over in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Right now, we can take some of this rain and wind in moderation, but it's coming tomorrow.
It is coming tomorrow. We've been talking about it since last week, and we've got really confident details to share with you at this point. We do have a wind advisory that was issued this morning. It goes into effect at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll see the winds building through the afternoon, gusting up to around 45 miles per hour. That's going to be outside of the line of thunderstorms that comes through. New this morning, we bumped up to a level 2 and 3 risk for severe weather across the bulk of the viewing area. And that means we have a better chance for tornadoes. We're likely to have some heavy rain on and off, especially during the evening. We could see widespread 2-inch rainfall totals. The 3-inch rainfall totals will probably be isolated. But we are going to see a lot of moisture with this. This is sucking up a lot of moisture out of the Gulf of Mexico. And it's a big system stretching all the way to Canada with some snow and all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico with a lot of thunderstorms. And of course, we'll be in the thunderstorm zone for today. The best chance of severe storms will be down near the Gulf of Mexico, but that spreads right up into our part of North Carolina for tomorrow. During the evening hours after sunset is when we'll have the best chance of seeing that line of storms coming through, but expect to see straight line damaging winds, a few tornadoes, and some heavy rain, especially during the evening. But we will see some rain before that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Breaking down the level 3 risk, you may wonder, well, what does that actually mean? It means that we'll see, pretty obvious, we will see more severe storms than we would in a level 1 or a level 2. So numbers of storms, in terms of the intensity of the storm, it goes up a level. A lot of times when in a level 3, we have a line of thunderstorms, and that's exactly what we're going to see this time. That means everybody in the viewing area sees something, but it is more likely that the storms will be stronger on the southern end of that line. Damaging winds and tornadoes are certainly possible in this scenario. Hail, though, for us this time is unlikely. The wind advisory It kicks in, of course, at 10 a.m., and so we're going to see gusts up to 45 miles per hour. It starts in the morning at about 25 to 30 and then bumps up to 40, 45 as we get through the afternoon. You can see that 25 at about 10 a.m. We'll roll it ahead, and by the time we pause it there at about 3 o'clock, you can see we're gusting to 35 to 40 miles per hour, and that picks up even more as we get into the evening. There's 6 p.m. Now, you can almost watch that line of strong storms coming through. I had paused it at 9 o'clock. That's when that is starting to exit. You can see that 72-mile-per-hour gust in Clinton. That's going to be the line of thunderstorms coming through. That's where we'll see the absolute strongest winds. That's when we'll have the best chance of trees coming down and power outages. But that wind will be building through the day even before the storms arrive. So scattered power outages across most of the state of North Carolina, widespread closer to the coast. We take a look at Futurecast one more time, and you can see that rain starts to push in here by about 5 or 6 a.m., so it will have an impact in our morning commute. We may not see as much of it down south, but from the Triangle area northward, it looks like it's going to be pretty wet for the commute. By 3 o'clock, some thunderstorm cells pop up, but again, it's this line of storms. 7 o'clock in our western counties, central counties at about 8:30, and then by 9 to 10 o'clock, it starts to pull out of the viewing area. That's going to be the timeline for when we'll have the greatest chance of the strongest storms coming through the area. We take a look at temperature. Again, it's going to be a warm day tomorrow, 66 degrees. After that, Wednesday and Thursday feel like quiet January days. We do have some rain in the forecast for Friday evening into early Saturday morning.
Elizabeth, thanks. The company known for their delicious chicken sandwiches is looking to expand. The new role you can fill to help promote family entertainment. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. A Harnett County high school was evacuated after a bomb threat. Overhills High School is allowing parents to pick their children up from Overhills Middle School. The school system says it's working with law enforcement to investigate what happened.
Police are now investigating a shooting in Northwest Raleigh as a homicide. It happened Sunday night at the View at Lake Lynn Apartments. It's off Ray Road. The man who was shot has died. Two people are reported to have left that scene in a vehicle. Police have not made any arrests. Authorities have not released the victim's name.
The Carolina Panthers fired general manager Scott Fitterer this morning. The move comes one day after the team was shut out for the second consecutive game to end the disappointing season. The Panthers are now looking for a head coach and a general manager during the same offseason for the first time since 2002.
Tonight, a new college football champion will be crowned. Michigan will play Washington in the championship game at NRG Stadium in Houston. The Wolverines and Huskies both finished the season 14-0 with thrilling wins in the semifinal games last week. Washington is looking for its first national title since 1991. Michigan looking for its first since 1997. You can watch the start of the NFL playoffs this weekend right here on WREL and Fox 50. At 4:30 on Saturday, the Cleveland Browns play the Houston Texans on WREL. At 4:30 Sunday, the Green Bay Packers travel to Dallas to play the Cowboys on Fox 50. And at 8 o'clock Sunday night, the Detroit Lions host the Los Angeles Rams on WREL.
Chick-fil-A is looking for someone to help expand its family-friendly platform. In November, the chain released a short film. Not long after, the company posted a job listing for an entertainment producer role. That person would oversee the chain's new app, which will feature podcasts, original animation, reality, and game shows. That position is still open. There's no set release date for the app.
People in Social Security will see a bigger number on their monthly checks this year. Ahead on our news at 4, how much higher the payments will get and what that means for working people paying into the system. A cat that disappeared in Nevada made its way back to its owners in Illinois thanks to the help of some volunteers in Wyoming and a microchip. Truck driver Chad McIntyre loves to spend his days on the road with his cat Tyler, but his best friend escaped from a Nevada truck stop in November. Chad says he searched for his furry friend for 5 days until his wife found Tyler at an animal shelter in Wyoming, 670 miles away from where he disappeared. Volunteers at the animal shelter said a concerned citizen brought Tyler in, and they located his owners through the microchip and helped get him back home.
Ah, those microchips making reunifications that much easier.
They're worth it.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.